I don't know if you've ever had this opportunity before, but a while ago, at a different company, we had a usability lab where we could do some testing of products. It looks something like this. It looks kind of like an interrogation room, where you've got a mirror, and one side is the participant with the usability tester, and the other side is the project team. And the way this works is the usability tester would kind of lead the user to try to do certain tasks in a product. And when I caught word that we were doing testing, I said, hey, can we also test our help documentation? I would love to see how people actually do it. You clap, but it doesn't really. If you look at the title, First Realizations of a Problem, you get a hint of what's coming. So as the user kind of goes into the help, which, by the way, is not their first inclination, they start to poke around. We would watch them click here, skim, scan, watch a video there, and just flounder around trying to find what they were looking for. And sometimes, even when the answer was right on the page that they were staring at, they still couldn't recognize it. And it was even worse for the designers, because the designers, you know, they thought they had these great intuitive UIs, you know, the workflows that they had set out, and people would go the wrong way, click the wrong place, not understand how to do it. But from a doc point of view, the takeaways from this were that, you know, users really struggle to locate the right content in our help systems. A few years later, at another company, had a similar sort of scenario. There was a third party that was doing some usability testing on the system and the docs and the experience, and the users reported that they had a poor experience, that they couldn't find what they were looking for, or that it was redundant, circular, or poorly organized. You know, they had trouble navigating things. And so when I started at this company, one of my main goals and challenges was to try to solve this problem. I'm going to make it so users can find what they're looking for. A lot of times when we start out in documentation, we focus entirely on the content, making sure it's clear and accurate. But if a user can't locate it, then it doesn't really matter a whole lot. So this element of findability often gets neglected. And I want to talk about this and my efforts to try to tackle this problem. As I talk about it, I'm going to leverage some design principles from a great book called Universal Principles of Design. It's more of a survey of lots of different design principles that are supposed to be universal, meaning they apply across disciplines, including tech-com type scenarios. I'm going to talk about hierarchy, progressive disclosure, immersion, desire line, modularity, and maybe wayfinding. All right, so my very first attempt to try to solve this problem of helping users find what they're looking for was to group topics in product sidebars. Now, most of you probably already have docs that have product sidebars, but in this case, all the pages were flat. There wasn't really much of a sidebar except a general product name. And so it was hard to tell what pages existed for a particular product. How many pieces of documentation did this product have? 50? 500? 2? It wasn't clear what the scope of anything was. So I started to, we were stuck in a system, and I just sort of hacked in this sidebar on the right. But it gave a sense of the whole. And this ties or relates to the first design principle, hierarchy. And according to the designers, hierarchical organization is the simplest structure for visualizing and understanding complexity. Notice it's not just labeled as a form of organizing stuff or listing things. It's a tool for helping people understand complexity. And just to give a really quick example, here's an example from Google. You can see on the left, they've got a sidebar nav with the pages that relate to this product, and they're grouped in different sections. What I like about this example is that you can take it all in at a glance. You're not presented with this massive sidebar that is incomprehensible to a user. You aren't overwhelmed by the number of choices. So coming back to the complexity, it helps to understand kind of the purpose of the sidebar and the sidebar nav, because some people really think it's unnecessary, that it's a relic of an outdated tri-pane help type system. But really, anytime we have a complex system, our first inclination to understand it is to try to break that complexity down into a list of parts. For example, if you were trying to tackle a complex philosophical theorem, you would break it down into premises, arguments, conclusions. If you were trying to make sense of the animal kingdom, you break it down into birds, fish, mammals, arthropods, and so forth. And so this, the first function is that it becomes a list of parts, just like when you get something to assemble. And the second function is that it provides a sense of the whole. What is there? What's included in this system? Oops. Okay. You get a sense of what is there. Now, if your system doesn't consist of a whole, if it's just like single parts, one-offs, KB articles, or encyclopedic-type articles, there's no need for the whole. But if you do have a whole system, such as setting up a particular app or something, then it helps to see this whole. As you create the sidebar nav, one thing to avoid is deep nesting. You don't want to have folders that have folders that have folders, precisely because it doesn't allow the user to see the whole. I'll talk later about how you can progressively disclose more information as the user gets deeper into the site. But this is kind of my main, this is the main problem where the sidebar navs go wrong. They have too deep a nesting, and the user is first paralyzed by having too many options, but then overloaded with just too much information, and the user can't really get started in the system. Finally, hierarchies show what's in the neighborhood, so to speak. They help a user realize what they didn't know was available. A user may land on one topic and kind of bounce around and actually find the topic they were looking for. All right. My second action, after creating these product sidebars, which were scoped to a specific kind of level, was to make navigation possible from one doc set to another, right? Because you're not having this one massive doc that has a million levels that you just navigate there. No, you've narrowed it down to a scope, and now you jump from one to another. So I just put a related resources section below that allowed people to jump to other sets of documentation. The principle here is one called, principle here is one called progressive disclosure. You've probably heard this term. But basically, it's a strategy for managing information complexity in which only necessary or requested information is displayed at any given time. If you work with a UX person, a lot of times they think in levels. They think, what is a user going to see at the first level, the second level, the third level, the fourth level? And it's helpful to try to look at documentation in terms of these levels and what should be exposed at each level. You have usually a doc portal homepage level that has all your docs, and then you jump to a product that has a smaller scope, and then maybe you've got sections within that product that have a scope, and finally a page scope. And at each level in your documentation, it'll make sense to show different options, different things in your sidebar or on the page. Here's an example from Microsoft, their Azure. If you go to their Azure docs, their homepage has a nice kind of display of the different docs that are available. And at this very first level, you just are choosing which documentation, which product, right? You're not going to get all the details of the product. It's kind of like a train station. You're going into some place to find the right place to go. It's not a destination page. It's a pathfinding page, as people would say. Here's an example from AWS where they just have lists of links, and this facilitates scanning. It may not be as visually attractive, but you can see all the options above the fold. Here's an example from Harvest. This might be something more similar to a product homepage where you have kind of the top links in different categories that are presented. But the idea is that you don't want to give all these options to the user up front. Be selective in what you show the user at a specific time, so that they can not be overwhelmed and they can know where to go. My third attempt to try to tackle this problem of findability is to allow navigation within the content. Now, this is something that we're all used to doing, right? Putting lots of links within the content that allow users to jump off to different points that they want to go. This relates to a principle called immersion. And it's sort of a stretch to relate it to this principle, but I think it's the closest one. But immersion is a state of mental focus so intense that awareness of the real world is lost, generally resulting in a feeling of joy and satisfaction. And this usually, you know, joy and satisfaction usually aren't used in the same terms as help material. It's more like an amusement park, or you're going into a store and you get lost, you forget there's a mall outside. But the idea is that a user goes into your help, they're sort of immersed in the content. They're not really looking at even the sidebar, which is outside the content. They're looking at the page. They're focused on the page. Granted, let me take a step back. Ideally, you would bring the help to the user in the interface, right? But if you don't have an interface, or that's a different discussion entirely. I'm talking about navigation within your documentation. But users who land in your documentation, they're reading on the page, and they're more apt to click links in line than to use the sidebar navigation. It's kind of ironic. We put so much effort into that, you know, sidebar nav, but people tend to just use that as a way to ground themselves in the hole, and they actually click links in line. Part of this is because the web has conditioned us to act this way. We're used to doing a Google search, clicking on a result, going to a page, clicking on some other result, going back, and we're jumping between systems. We're not really navigating within the same system. So the web has sort of brainwashed us into just navigating through these inline links. Mark Baker would call this type of navigation bottom-up navigation, where instead of having users make decisions from top down, from like a high-level category into a page, you start at the page level. And, you know, bottom-up navigation sounds very commonsensical, and I like the way that Mark makes it even more concrete. He says, this is how you pretty much implement it. If you tell me I can do something, link to how to do something. If you tell me I can use something, link to a description of that something. If you mention a concept or an idea, link to a description of that concept or idea. And you think, oh, of course I do that. But you can also amplify the number of inline links so that your content begins to look like Wikipedia, where every sentence has several different links in it. Of course, this presents challenges on its own, right? Because every link in a sentence becomes a decision point for the user. Do I click that link? Do I keep reading? It also is really hard to kind of make all these links valid. As you change page names, file names, locations, you've suddenly got masses of links to ensure they don't break. Finally, it can be a little bit tricky when you're authoring if you've got all these links in your sentences to even read your sentences. But just keep in mind that this is another element that you can add to help people find what they're looking for. A user who's reading something is probably going to click that link because it's more related to what they're reading than looking through a sidebar. All right, fourth action in tackling findability. Tried to make popular topics easy to access. So we looked at our metrics and we said, you know, lots of people are reading this page. This is like the number one page, even though, you know, who would have thought specifications would be it. But we moved that up in the sidebar, I put it second to the top. We have an index page, we featured it on the index page, linked to it in other places in visible ways because we want to surface this content that people are already looking for. The design principle that relates here is one called desire line, which could be a whole philosophy unto itself, but it's the idea that traces of use or wear that indicate preferred methods of interaction with an object or environment. So you see a path here, and this is the line that people desire to walk. It's the natural line people want to walk. They don't want to go in this angled sort of direction. Interestingly enough, in one of the renovations of Central Park, they did the paths like this. They first kind of looked to see where people were walking and later filled in those paths with cement walkways to formalize them. Well, we can do the same thing in our documentation. Here's an example from Twitter. You can see up at the top, they have kind of made these very popular topics, how do I sign up, what's my password kind of thing, very easy, very visible, because that's where people are going. They want to go there. So why not make those as visible as possible? You know, it's very common to put kind of a top 10 on your product homepage, or to just put as many links as possible here, especially if you have a UI. If you can put a link within your UI that points to these topics, even better. All right, number five, reduce information fragmentation. So this is the idea of information fragmentation is that you've got little tiny topics, like a million topics, and the user has to go from one topic to another. And one way to avoid that is to consolidate a lot of that information into longer, more complete, independent, standalone topics. This principle is called modularity. Modularity is a method of managing system complexity that involves dividing large systems into multiple, smaller, self-contained systems. Of course, this provides efficiency for authoring. You don't have 10 different pages that you have to update. You just got one page that has your information. But it also makes it easier for people to find what they're looking for. They don't have to jump around and try to get the full story of the information that they need. The modularity has its roots even as far back with John Carroll in the 90s in his Nuremberg Funnel book. He says, you know, users should be able to just read the sections that they want. They shouldn't have to proceed in this linear long sequence. They jump around. And that, of course, supports what we know about user behavior. People jump in at any point. To support that kind of behavior, if their landing point contains all that information, they're more likely to find it. Whereas if they have to jump around from one to the other, it creates more of a fragmented experience. They become a pinball bouncing off walls and sidewalls and so forth, and become somewhat nauseating. To facilitate long topics, it's helpful to have an on-page table of contents that lets a user see what's on that page. And that on-page TOC functions very much just like the hierarchy kind of in the sidebar, giving them a sense of the whole, but at a micro level. A lot of times, people are sort of trapped in this an information architecture that propels them to write in small little chunks. You may be following an information architecture that requires you to separate a concept into its own file that's maybe just one paragraph, and a task that's just three steps into its own file. Well, remember that building blocks aren't the same as presentation. So if you do have that kind of architecture that you have to follow, remember that you can assemble these little chunks into larger, more elaborate, purposeful displays. You don't have to just have the little chunks. You can always tell when somebody's sort of writing in Ditta if, like, the topics are broken into a million different pieces, and you realize they haven't really done anything with those chunks. All right, I wasn't sure if I'd have time for this one, so I stuck this after. But this is another principle, is to hang signposts along the way. And I'll talk more about this design principle in a minute, but the idea is that, like on a hike, the user's seen the map at the trailhead, but now as they're walking along the trail, you want to put little signs saying, you know, here you are, you're halfway through, and you're here, because they need to know where they are. So to try to implement this, I would put a kind of a process map followed by contextual links at the top, next steps links at the bottom, even in the sidebar, putting kind of a numbered sequence of the general path. And this design principle is one called wayfinding. It's the process of using spatial and environmental information to navigate to a destination. And a great example is one from AWS Docs, where they have this map at the top that lets you know where you are in a larger process. Now, they could have perhaps put all these different steps into one long page, but maybe they're really long steps and becomes too unwieldy, and you really have to break them up. this kind of workflow map is great for users. Now, it becomes problematic if you don't have a linear workflow. What if your workflow has lots of different options and branching and decision points? So it doesn't always work, but at the very least, giving users this high-level map so that once they're in the system and giving them a way to reference it is very helpful. And then at the bottom, provide next steps so that once they finish, they know where to go next. Kind of like when you're following a bike detour and it's like, turn here, turn here, turn here, can kind of guide you along. And finally, breadcrumbs are one more pathfinding, wayfinding method, so a user can contextualize where they are, get a sense of their position in this location. All right, so now let me come back to my question. My discussion question for you, and I guess before I set you on this little question, I should wrap up and just say there's lots of different principles. I haven't talked even about search or glossaries or more context-sensitive help. There's so many other design principles, but I think this is a good start to think about how do users find what they're looking for? How can you implement these in your actual help? And don't just focus on creating content, but navigating to that content. So as you think about this, I want you to consider your own documentation in mind, a project that you were recently working on. How are you incorporating some of these design principles? Hierarchy, progressive disclosure, immersion, desire line, modularity, wayfinding. I find that when people consider their own docs in mind, even these principles that seem simple and basic take on new life and meaning. So thank you.